I was fortunate to have my earthly mother on this earth until May of 1996. And many of you in this house knew my mother. I learned today from my mother and my dad. They taught me biblical principles growing up that I constantly learn from. I don't worship my parents by no means, but I still hear in my heart the teachings of my mother and my father. The bracelet I wear on this hand right here that you've seen probably since I've been here is actually my mother's. And that's the reason I wear that bracelet in honor of my mother. I've had it on or worn it since 1996 or right before she died. She gave it to me. My parents were very and still are very important to me. And folks, I realize that I am and we are who have parents like that are slowly and, well, should I say quickly, moving to the minority. I thank God for you moms. And I thank God for you folks who are here whose mother is not here. We have a drop-off theology that we live in now, where we drop off our kids and we leave them. It's a sad commentary, but it's reality. Most of the time, parents don't stay with their kids anymore when they take them somewhere. The sad part about it today is that so many parents are just looking for a way so kids can get out of the home. I am so glad and I'm so grateful and realize how fortunate I was that when my mother and dad drove up on this parking lot, both of them got out of the car. And they stayed here until I left too. And you know, I thought about Mother's Day, and I could tell you the history of Mother's Day. I can go back to all kind of messages about moms. And you remember as I began this service, there's so many folks who want to have children and cannot. There's so many biological mothers, and there's so many who, like to say, want to have children and never had children, but yet have been a mother to so many. Gosh, I look out amongst you all, and I see Miss Myra sitting back here. Jim and Myra Petty never had children, but that dear lady has taught most of us in this room, you know, in school. Yes, yes, very much. Motherhood is, yes, about being a biological mother. But motherhood is more than being a biological mother. And I am so thankful for my mom. And you all, I know, are thankful for your mothers because many of you are in the same boat that your mom's not here. They're already in glory. But there's some of you who have your moms here. There's some of you who have your grandmoms here and your granddads. Hang on to that, folks, and thank God for it. Amen. Because that is a teacher that sent from heaven to you. Now, my mother was a stern lady, and those of you who knew her would smile because you know Mother and I sometimes would butt heads in a, well, not in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. She was very strong and very convicted about many things. And sometimes the little runt, Randy, didn't agree with Mama. Guess who won all the time? Yeah, it was Mama, not Randy. But boy, y'all, I am so glad she won those times because she taught me so, so much. And then I looked back and I thought, well, folks, how can I tell you about Mama? There's only one I've known. Her name is Odine, my mother. But there's one I've studied a whole lot about, and you have too. The greatest mother of all, but one that would, for us today, be a social outcast. And it was Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, I think about Mary, and I think about the location. I think about how she grew up and what it was like growing up in her day. Mary lived under the rule of her father. She protected that rule to protect his honor all the time. That's what a Jewish peasant daughter did. In public, she dressed according to the social standard. She behaved according to good manners. She spoke to men only when spoken to. Otherwise, in that culture, it would have brought shame to her father. Now, in her day, a Jewish woman's words didn't count. Everything had to be supported in Jewish tradition by a male witness. And every day the Jewish man thanked God, first, that he had not been born a Gentile or a slave or a woman. Women received little education. They could not go out of their house with an uncovered head and or veiled men. If the right reason under the Jewish law could, by a right of divorce decree, divorce women. Women did not eat with male guests. A little more than information than perhaps you wanted. And men were discouraged from talking to women. Now that's the society Mary grew up. Daughters were expected to marry suitable husbands that were found mostly by their parents at a young age, usually at puberty. For ladies, the girls, it was somewhere around 13 to 16 years old. We believe Mary, more than likely, was closer to probably 14 or 15 years old, and she's the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary is betrothed. There is a process of betrothal in Jewish tradition. And Mary was betrothed. She is at the third section of this, whereby everything is settled until the consummation of marriage, until it's taken care of. And that type of betrothal was considered married in many respects. To live immorally outside of that betrothal relationship meant a sentence of death. And the betrothed, soon-to-be husband, if the betrothed wife, or soon-to-be wife, was found in any type extracurricular or marital affair, he could divorce her. Or even if he thought it, he could divorce her. So that's where Mary grew up, folks. That's the type of society Mary grew up. A peasant girl, a nobody, someone that you probably would not pick to get on your team. But God did. It's like Matthew said a minute ago. Can you imagine God choosing a poor little peasant, in our terminology, probably not worth a whole lot, quote unquote, that we would think. But you know something? To God, she was worth everything. Some of you come into this house this morning and you may have had a week where you think you're not worth one red cent to anybody. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. The best news and the most wonderful news I can tell you is that you're not only worth more than a red cent to God, you're worth Him giving His life for you. The blood can make the vilest sinner clean. There's just four things I want to tell you about Mary. And here they are. They're very brief, and I'm going to make them very brief. I'm not doing a major study on Mary. I could spend hours talking and sharing with you about Mary. But there are four things, and here it is. The first thing Mary did, folks, was she trusted the Lord. She trusted the Lord. Look in your Bibles. I hope you have them. Stay with me in Luke, and then we're going to look over in John, and then we're going to go back to Proverbs here in just a minute. But I want you to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 38. It's right after she had been visited by Gabriel, the angel. Right after she is announced, that the Lord has announced to her that she's going to be the birth mother of Jesus Christ. Then Mary said, verse 38, Luke chapter 1, "Behold, the maid servant, the slave, the bond servant, the doulos of Paul, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. In other words, her prayer was this: Lord, whatever you want, I want. She trusted God. And Matthew said, folks, can you imagine an angel showing up in the first place? But in this case, the angel showed up to Mary, Gabriel himself, and announced the fact that she would be the birth mother of Jesus. And the humility of this 14, y'all, or 15-year-old girl, this type of humility that would say, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed to her. Folks, at 14, even as a male, I wish I'd have had enough spiritual sense to have that kind of humility. To say, Lord, whatever you want, I want. And then finally, beginning in verse 46 of Luke 1, and I won't read the whole thing, we call this in the music, and it's referred to in Italian as the Magnificat. It is the magnificent song. And Mary, this young girl, says, my soul magnifies the Lord in verse 46. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He's regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. She's not being conceited, folks. She's pouring out her heart, saying it's God's reason here. This is why I can say this, is because of God. The first thing, Mary, you need to know about Mary, the mother of Jesus, is that Mary trusted the Lord. There's a second thing. Mary cared for her son. Every time I read the story of the Nativity, every time I read of how Mary in that barn, that old dirty, smelly, stinky barn, gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I'm blown away. Move with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, there it is, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Now watch this. She brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I tell you what, I've watched little Bryson with Mandy. I've watched my little Griffin. And I've watched little Ella and so many others. Gracious child. I mean, these little babies. And I watched them yesterday as they were at my house. And Mandy is wrapping little Bryson in that cloth. And all tight. And Melissa was helping and wrapping. And then he just cuddled up next to you. That's a mother caring for a child. And I am so glad my mom cuddled me up like that and cared for me. It's such a joy to watch my daughter-in-law, Jennifer, wrap up. Well, he's not little anymore. We say compared to little Bryson, they're both, one's growing old and the other one's real young here. It's like a big one. But to wrap them up and the tightness of that wrap, to hold them close to you. Folks, that's a care of a mama that we guys, dads, can't figure out. That's a mama thing, you know? And that's what Mary did. Mary cared for Jesus, without a doubt. From the day Jesus was born, he was in danger. Herod sought him to kill him before he ever got out of Bethlehem, and they escaped to Egypt. And Mary's response to all of it, she says, I kept all these things and pondered them in my heart. How many of you mamas have left that grandbaby and that child, and you've held that child and you've just kept all those things and pondered them in your heart? And I bet you some of you moms that are in your 70s and 80s, others, you can still remember those things that you ponder in your heart. You know, that's a mama. Because you care for your child. That's what it's all about. We see so many abused children. We see so many missing children. We see so many neglected children in this day and time that it breaks my heart. We see so many people treating children in such negative and bad ways, the pedophiles of our world. Mary cared for Jesus intimately. There's a third thing I want you to see this Mother's Day. Mary never deserted her son. Never. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 2. Again, I'm not going to read all these verses. It actually goes from 41 to 52. That's a typo. That's my fault. It should be 52. This is the story of when Jesus was missing for 3 days. And look with me in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Get my pages to turn. Verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year of the feast of the Passover. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. Now go down to verse 45. So when they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem. They had already gone a day's journey. They came back to find him. And now after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. In verse 49, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Didn't you know I should be about my Father's business?" Wow. First of all, I want you to understand something. Mary and Joseph, but Mary did not desert her son, even at the temple. She was there when the very first miracle took place. The miracle of turning the water to wine in Cana. Go with me. Keep your finger in the book of Luke. Go to the last gospel. John, if you will. John chapter 2. Over to John chapter 2. And I'm in 3. There we go. Y'all have pages that stick together like mine. There it is. On the third day, there was a wedding of Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And her mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." As you read on, you read the story of the very first miracle that Jesus did on this earth of turning water to wine. Guess who was there? Mama. Mama. And then, folks, I think of at the cross. Stay in the book of John and go to John chapter 19 with me, would you? All these verses you know. Beginning in verse 25. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Look at that. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and John, the disciple whom he loved, standing by him, he said to his mom, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the other disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Mamas, you've had to bear some horrific sorrow with your children. Because so many of us, with our kids, we have to love them enough to let them go. The hardest thing in my life was letting my children go. I got one soon to be married. I got one already married with a grandchild. But for this old dad to love him like that and let him go without daddy's protection terrified me. Dad, you ever felt that way? When you send your son and your daughter out and you know you cannot be there to protect them, but God does. I'm so glad. Wow. Mary never deserted her son, even on the cross. But let me tell you another time Mary never deserted her son. Keep going over in the New Testament. I can't even talk. Testament. One book, the book of Acts. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. Look at verse 1, down to chapter 1, to verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. or the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, at the Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, this is verse 13, they went up into the upper room where they were standing. So they were staying. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And all these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and who? Mary, the mother of Jesus. She never, ever deserted her son. Wow. And there's a final thing I want to tell you. Because of that, even the angel of God called Mary blessed. Even an old 58-year-old guy named Randy Cheek can stand at the pulpit of Olive Springs Baptist Church on Mother's Day 2011 and call his mother blessed. Because of that, folks, look back to Luke, would you? Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Gabriel, and he says this, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Wow. Mary was blessed among all women. And then back up with me into Proverbs. Would you do that? Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Look in the very middle of your Bible and back up one book. Matter of fact, the last chapter of Proverbs. Matthew referred to it in his prayer. Verse 28, 31, 28. "Her children will rise up and call her blessed." These are the words of Lemuel, King Lemuel, who we believe may have in fact been Solomon. And more than likely was. Referring back to the thought of Solomon's mother, the king's mother. And he is writing down what she taught him. And now at the end of the book, he rises up and he says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also." And he praises her. What a legacy, mamas and daddies. Let's make sure we leave for our children a legacy of being blessed. That when we're in heaven, when we're home, our children will rise up and call us blessed. Let me tell you something as I close this. 40 years ago, that would have put me about 17 or 18 years old. And most of you do not know this. I had a horrific temper. A temper that, had God not controlled it, I can promise you, I would not be standing right here today. As I told you, my mother was a strongly convicted, very stern lady. She was a very strict disciplinarian to me. Didn't hurt me. She just strong. And I knew the Bible said to honor the mother and father, and I did, and honored and still do my parents. But sometimes my mother and I would get down in verbal knockdown and drag outs. She'd say something I wouldn't agree with, or I'd say something she didn't agree with, and all of a sudden our voice level started right down here, and within the next 10 seconds we got it all the way up to about that light right up there. Then a few hours later, Mother and I would both come back and apologize to each other. That happened over and over and over and over again. And I am so glad. Let me tell you why. My mother had so much wisdom. I was sitting in my office at Mount Zion Baptist Church in 1980. And my telephone rang. It was about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I remember it as though it were yesterday. I can still tell you how my office was set up. My secretary, Carolyn Bryan, was down the hall answering our phone and doing some things. Our other staff people were there. And I answered the phone. Hey, and Carolyn said, "Randy, it's your mom." I picked up my phone. "Hey, Mom, how are you?" And all of a sudden, there was this sobbing on the other side of the phone. I mean, you thought somebody had died, that there was a tragedy that had taken place, a major tragedy. And I said, "Mom, what's wrong? Tell me what's wrong." And she couldn't talk. She was crying so uncontrollably. And I said, "Mom, you got to get things together. I need to know what was wrong." And now I'm getting a little almost belligerent because I'm so worried about her because I want to find out what's wrong with my mama. Finally, she calmed down enough. And you know what my dear, precious mother said to me? She said, "Randy, I had to call you and tell you something. God had just convicted me about this over these last few weeks and months. And I had to call and tell you I'm sorry." I said, "Sorry? For what, Mom? All those times I got upset with you and yelled and screamed, and all those times we did and screamed and yelled at each other, and all that, I shouldn't have done that." And then there was silence on the other side of her telephone. Because this old macho 28, 29-year-old youth minister was crying so uncontrollably he couldn't talk to his own mother. And I said to my mom, "Mom, it's not you that should apologize. It's me. God took an old 28-year-old and a godly mother. And we were like this long before that. But somehow, even after that moment, that day, we were like this." She had enough credible, spiritual, loving sense to do something I should have done as her son years ago. And I thank God for Odine Cheek. I thank God for what she taught me. She trusted the Lord. She cared for her son. She never deserted me, ever. And I can rise up here today and call her blessed. I don't equate her with Mary, the mother of Jesus. But folks, on this Mother's Day, I believe there are four qualities that every godly mother's got to have. Those four qualities. And maybe moms, and maybe kids, there may be some times that you're going to have to be like that phone call I got at Mount Zion that day. We talked about that until the day Mother went home to glory. And we talked about how God used that moment in both of our lives. Now, like I say, not only to seal that relationship, it had been sealed. She was my mama. But folks, I learned such a lesson on that day that I will never forget for eternity. Of a mother that broke down all pride, all preconceptions, everything, and called and said, "Rand, I'm sorry." And then I think of what the choir sang this morning. Man, I wish we all could become Doug like that. Where as a church and as people, we can look up to the Lord Jesus and we could say to the Lord once again, "I'm sorry." Because you see, God's made that phone call. It's called a cross. And He took every sin any of us in this room would ever commit. He trusted His dad. You're here as a child. He's never left you and never will desert you. He will care for you, and He has constantly. And all of us in this room can rise up today and say we are blessed beyond anything any of us ever deserve by the blood of Jesus. Now that's a different Mother's Day message. But that's probably the most intimate Mother's Day message I've ever shared anywhere. And I did that for two reasons. First of all, because God told me to. I am convinced of it as I'm standing here. And second, many of you in this house know what I'm telling you is true. Moms, I thank God for you. Boy, I thank God for you. And together in this house, We thank God for Jesus. Wow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending us our moms. And Lord, I pray for all of us in this room and those who will listen to this message by way of electronic media, that, Father, lives will be touched and people could be hearing today and saying, well, you know, Rand, I just didn't grow up with a mom like you did. Oh, Father, thank you for what you gave to me. And Lord, as that little video said, as we began this worship service, may those who not had moms like I did, may they start a new legacy right now, this very second, like never before, to make sure their lives reflect Jesus. Lord, not only for the moms in this house, but for all of us dads, all of us men, forgive us for not taking the lead like we should. And your will be done. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in the name of Jesus.